Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. If you're tuning in with us live stream on sermon audio, Little Sandy KY. I believe it is 73686. If you're getting on there, want to know our number of our account is 73686. We'll get you to log on, download the app to your phone. I'm going to ask you the ID number. I think it's 73686. If you can look right, it's right there in your, yes, it is, it says 37686. It's one of those two. It's either 73 or 37686. So there we go. If the 37 doesn't work, try 73. There we go. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 4 only. And we also would like to mark, if you would care to do so, Genesis chapter 4. For we will be over there quite frequently, most likely. Genesis chapter 4. And we'll be over there as it is also the main part regarding Abel and Cain. I'm reading Hebrews 11:4, and then we will pray. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. May the Lord his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight that you are the one who is with us in all our anxiety, all our care. Help us to bring them to the mercy seat and leave them there. Thank you. You are the God of all comfort. Thank you tonight in our text that you have shown to us in the life of Abel, one who lived by faith. Help us, Lord, to do that ourselves. May we be counting upon you, trusting you for all things going forward, even for eternity. So, Lord, bless me now tonight. Help me to say nothing amiss. Forgive me of sin. Empty me of self. And please fill me with your Holy Spirit this evening. Bless those downstairs working with the children as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we're embarking upon this series regarding chapter 11 of Hebrews. And we've been talking about the elders who obtained a good report in verse 3. Now, the author of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit, uses the human writer, most likely. Well, many would say Paul or Luke or Paulus or someone like that, possibly, as Paul would be the number one candidate for most people. But he wrote about now the individuals. These are some of the elders that obtained a good report. And we have three prior to the flood. And the first one here is Abel. He is the fourth human named in human history. I was thinking perhaps there were daughters born. I'm not sure at all. I won't even venture into there. But the fourth person named in history would be Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Were they twins? Some people think that they were even twins. I'm not sure we can even read that into there, but maybe they were. Regardless, Cain was the oldest. Abel was the younger of the two. What an encouragement to find out for the Christian Hebrew people that there were people in the past that lived by faith, even in a difficult time. Can you imagine, as bad as our world, and I moan and groan every day about something new, it seems. My poor wife has had to hear these things for months now, all the things you learn about what we don't like, etc. Can you imagine, though, living in the days of Noah? When everybody but the eight of you, everybody but the eight and Methuselah the nine, everybody but the nine of you have been pretty much sold out to the ungodly culture. That would be a lot worse situation than we are. And there are still a lot of Christians, praise the Lord, who are holding fast the word of truth and going to church and praying and reading their Bibles, and they're going to stand true. There's many thousands and yea millions across the world believers. So there's more than 7,000. Elijah. And there's more than 7,000, Pastor Tim. There's more than 70,000, Pastor Tim. There's a lot of Christians still. Now, are there a lot that who are just playing at it? Yes, there are a lot. And that will come, I think, to the fruition or come to light here in the very fairly near future, I believe. I could certainly hope I'm wrong. Now, one of the things we note about Abel, we could say it about all of them, but Abel being he is dead, yet he is speaking even to us tonight. We find it's recorded. Now, we could say about Enoch and Moses and Noah and all these different ones. We could say it about them. But specifically, it is said, well, matter of fact, it says in Genesis 4:10, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood, what's the next word? Crieth unto me from the ground. Cain, you've done wrong. So there's about seven P's. First of all, the premise of faith. The premise of faith. I think we should note that chapter 4 of Genesis, really, after creation, after the communion with God in the garden, after the fall of man, chapter 4, we have, praise the Lord, the way back. The way back to God that Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden. Chapter 3, the fall of man, we have the way back. God must have spoken to Cain and Abel concerning the manner which he would have approached. He must have spoken of the way in which he would have them to be worshiping him after they were driven out of the Garden of Eden. In chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 24, if you want to just meander over to there, or turn over to there, or simply look at it. For he drove them out the man, and he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. The interesting word there is placed, and the Hebrew used 127 times in the Old Testament, shaken, something like that, shaken, shaken, etc. Shaken, S-H-A-K-E-N is how you spell it in Hebrew, in our English, for Hebrew, not in Hebrew, but our translation in the English. It means to 100 times to dwell. Even one of the lexicons means to tabernacle, to settle down. So after the fall of man, I believe not only was there a way of guarding the garden, that was where they would meet with God. I believe very likely that's where they met with God. And they worshipped him there on the east of the Garden of Eden, the cherubims there. Weren't cherubims always a signifying also the presence of God in many cases? Yes. And so I think that's where God met with man after the fall. And back over in 11:4, it says, by faith Abel offered, by faith or through faith, 20 times in Hebrews 11, 20 times. It means that there has to be some sort of divine revelation, either to precept or in principle from God, on which to act. I am by faith believing there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I by faith believe that my father and my father-in-law and mother-in-law are in the presence of God in what we would call heaven, somewhere off-planet, I believe, in the sides of the north, Psalm 48, beautiful for elevation, the sides of the north, there. And find, I'm reading in Isaiah chapter 14, how Satan wants to exalt himself above the north. But the word north is in there somewhere. And we find, that's where they are. I by faith, because I have not been there. Now, I would love to go there tonight. All of you with me who know Christ as Savior, which I trust is every single one of you, would all go with me together. Wouldn't that be amazing? Yes, we should be excited about that imminent return. By faith, so true faith must have a foundation or premise upon which to rest, and this foundation is divine revelation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If there is no divine precept or principle involved in one's actions, the actions cannot be deemed as by faith. By faith speaks of a belief in something and obedience to something. And if there's no principle or precept, how can there be belief in something or obedience in something if there's nothing to believe? I know it sounds kind of trite, but that's the way. Really, we by faith, a principle given to Cain and Abel, how they worship. Bollinger says, he wrote an entire book on Hebrews 11. He says, as faith cometh by hearing, Abel and Cain must both have heard what sacrifice they were to bring. As hearing cometh by and consists of by what we hear through the Word of God, Abel and Cain must both have heard from God, otherwise it would have been by fancy and not by faith. And there would not have been room either for obedience on the one hand or disobedience on the other. In the quote, I like that. It's not by fancy. If it were by fancy, we'd have a church that somehow goes in and worships however they want and plays the world's music and dresses like the world and talks like the world and acts like the world if it was by fancy. Sadly, we have some of that, don't we? No, it's by faith. By faith. Today, many are claiming to do things by faith. When it is really not by faith, they give it the name by faith. For example, let us say that I by faith believe we're going to embark upon as a church a $5 million gymnatorium that we're going to put out here by faith. That's by fanciful. That's not by faith. That's by ignorance or something at this point. Just a minute. If we had a church of 3,000 people, and we needed that facility, then we would go and pray about it and seek the Lord's will. And then by faith, we would step out. My wife burned my breakfast this morning, so I, by faith, am going to jettison myself from her and send her off in hope of finding, by faith, a better husband for her. So Oh, Pastor Tim, that's not by faith. Why? Because that's clearly contradictory to God's Word. How can you say it's by faith if it's clearly against God's Word? You can't. So by faith is a precept from God. The premise is it agrees with the Word of God. Secondly, is the piety of faith. By faith, Abraham offered unto God. Offering unto God is an act of worship. Faith and worship go hand in hand, somewhat to express the great faith, but if their faith does not worship God well, it's really not a great faith. It's not even valid. Matt Morgan says, G. Campbell Morgan, worship is the highest function of human life. Man reaches the highest possible level of personality and possibility when he worships, not when he's working. We cannot worship, and we can never come to God to worship, save by way of the cross, which is foreshadowed by the sacrifice made by Abel. To come stridently or forcefully and without reverence into the presence of God, imagining we can worship Him through flowers and fruits and things ascetic, is to insult His holiness. Worship demands the approach based upon sacrifice. End of quote. If you worship God apart from the way of the cross, you worship God not by the will, for by it's all important by faith. By faith, we're believing what God said about what His Son did on the cross for us. Not only the premise, the piety, the price, He offered a sacrifice. He gave in Genesis 4:4 the firstling of His flock and the fat thereof. All this says, if you're going to worship God by faith, it's going to cost you. I love what David said at the threshing floor of Arnon, whatever you pronounce that word there. I will not give them to the Lord that which cost me nothing. And we are so much about getting by as little as we can, giving as little as we can, and saving the rest for ourselves. It's very simply and a very poor illustration. It's when there's two pieces of pie, and one's narrow and very skinny and can hardly have a calorie in it, and there's one big fat piece that has all the great luscious, it's got ice cream on top of it, and you give that one away instead of giving away the little Mickey Mouse pieces that can hardly have enough for Audrey there. I'm sorry. No, see, we are to give the best. We're to give the first fruits of our income. It's not like, well, I get to the end of the week. I tell you, if you wait to the end of the week to pay your tithe, there's going to be way too much week for the week for the income that you have. You got to say, Lord, this is yours right off the top. It's the first fruits. It's the first thing of the flock. It's the fat thereof. So it's a sacrifice. And fourthly, the premium of faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Faith does things with excellence. I remember talking to Dr. Anderson I was touring the facility with him at ABC at one point in time. I think that's the day I spoke there. I can't remember for sure. He said, well, we go for excellence without excess. I like that. I said, I really like that. Excellence without excess. And that should be us. We should serve God with excellence. It means you practice before you sing. You practice before you play. You practice. You study your lesson before Sunday morning at 9:30. You're prepared. If you're teaching that morning, you're working ahead of time, and you're giving God your best, not the leftovers. Now we had leftovers for lunch today. I had leftover roast and taters, and I put some cottage cheese and put some applesauce in there. Have you ever had cottage cheese and pineapple chunks? Oh, yeah. I'm with you on that. It tastes great. I have that almost every day in some form. Not quite, but probably five or six days a week I have pineapples and cottage cheese. I got pineapples in the house. Well, I like to put them in there. But leftovers, it's okay for lunch. It's not okay for God. It's not okay for God. He should get the best. So, first of all, under this premium of faith, faith in the offering, by faith, Abel offered in 11:4 of Hebrews unto God. Now, Cain is mentioned first in Scripture. Obviously, I mean, he was the older. He brought his offerings to the Lord. He was not, by the way, he was not some radical rebel in the sense of never worshiping. He came to God to do what? To worship. He did the same thing Abel did. He's coming. He was not some godless individual. He was a most religious individual. Religious. He was. It likely, I want to say, very possibly, Cain's offering costs more than Abel in time and effort-wise. The fruit of his ground probably costs all Abel had to do, watch him pop out of the mother's womb and here, raise a little lamb, put him away somewhere, and then offer him. It wasn't near as much as, man, I got to ho, dig, ho, digger, digger, and picking weed every single day. And wow, look at this. A lot of work probably might have been more involved in Cain's than Abel's. He was a religious man. Abel offered unto God by faith. This is not said of Mr. Cain in Genesis chapter 4. I'm looking now at verse 3. Genesis 4, 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. It doesn't say in the process of time by faith. It doesn't say that. Why? Because he's ignoring the principle laid down by God that it must involve, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Clearly, there was a principle precept from God that they were to trust by faith. Cain did not do so. He had no divine revelation for his offering. Okay, plan A is a blood sacrifice. Plan B is a cluster of grapes, a 5 bushels of apples, a large pumpkin, a 5 ears of corn, 50 ears of corn, and 5 pounds of potatoes freshly dug, and some new peas to put in there, and some cream to put make a new peas. You ever had new peas and taters together? Oh, you should try that. The little round taters and peas, and put some creamy sauce in there. Man, that's great. That was not plan B. See, there's but one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. God's word is abundantly clear. There's but one way, always has been, ever will be, one way to glory. That is through Christ. The divine precept, the faith and the offering, he believed and offered by faith. Again, Bollinger says, the point here is this. The way back to God which Cain took was his own way, while the way which Abel took was God's way, which he had revealed and laid down. Cain had heard the report as well as Abel, but he did not believe God. He invented what must have been supposed to be a better and a more excellent way. Oh, we can't believe the Bible, so we got to believe that everything evolved by chance over billions of years. That's a better... No, it's not a better way. It's contrary to God's word. God's word is the most... But a lot easier by faith to believe there's an omniscient God who created everything out of nothing, then that from nothing, from zero to zero, somehow exploded in the past, and somehow we started. It doesn't even make logical common sense. It goes against the laws of science even. Can you imagine how, just think about how we have been, how successful Satan has been to use academia to change and turn the world against the Word of God. Word of God. Faith in the offering, secondly, is the finest in the offering. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. Firstling and fat thereof speak of the finest, the best. Abel gave of his best. He did not save the best of the flock for himself. He did not give of the leftovers. By the way, Malachi denounced leftovers in Malachi 1:13. He said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Or is it, and ye have snuffed at it with the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? And the answer obviously is no. No. Cain's offering is described as the fruit of the ground. By the way, just for a moment, can you remember what happened in chapter 3 regarding the ground? The ground is now what? Cursed. He's bringing of the cursed ground to the Holy Savior. It's not the way. But I have faith is going to work. It's faith in the object of the faith is so important. Muslims' faith in Islam far exceeds the faith of Christians, it seems, certainly in their activities. By the way they live, a lot of Christians live as basically as atheists. You hardly even know they're truly believers. Our faith should be abundantly evidenced to all, to our church family, yes, and to our people on our street and the people we work with tomorrow on the job. Cursed of the ground. Cain's offering was not as good as Abel's offering. There's nothing in the description given in Genesis text about Cain's offering to no excellence or the finest or even the best. I always thought that. Let's read it again for ourselves before you say Pastor Tim's coming up with something that's not in the Bible. In the process of time, Genesis 4:3, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. Do I see anything about the biggest grapes, the biggest taters, the biggest pumpkin, the best of the corn? It might have had worms in the corn. I don't think it did. Maybe did they have worms back then? I don't know if they had worms back then. They probably did. There were maybe really little worms. But we find that he brought, but doesn't even say the best. God's way back is through sacrifice. It's pictured in the Garden of Eden. It's told by God. It's a precept given to Cain and Abel. Abel was gave
By faith, Abel did, and without faith, Cain did not. It's the death of a substitute by atonement. Man's way back, which Cain invented, was without blood and devised in his own heart. Well, I believe, Mr. Wright, that if my good works outweigh my bad works, when I stand before God, He's going to let me in heaven. No! It's not the way it works! By the way, if you're standing before God at the end of the millennial kingdom, you are in deep trouble. No matter what you say, your life has proved, well, I'm going to get saved after I die. That's not going to happen either. The time is now, and you have abundant, if you live in America, you have no excuse for not having heard, honestly. Other countries, you can have more of an excuse. But in America, we have a profundity, is that the right use of that word? Profundity, a plethora of outlets of the gospel. The faith in offering the finest, how about the flock in the offering? Abel's offering was from the flock. God's order had been for an animal sacrifice, not a sacrifice of the fruit of the ground, even though it may be your best. That was not it. It was a matter of obedience, again, that constituted Abel's offering. Noah offered after the flood. Remember, Noah offered because he had 7 of the clean animals. He was able to offer an animal sacrifice. Yes, Cain might have brought a blood sacrifice for a sin offering just as easily as Abel. Interesting, it lay at the door. If you read let's read it just a moment. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. Genesis 4, verse 7. If thou doest well, speaking to Cain, thou shalt not be accepted. Yes. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Interesting, again, Bollinger says that the possibility of his redemption is right there. If you just grabbed the lamb from Abel and offered that, it was there available for you. The same message came to Abel and Cain. One received it, one did not. But it's a new theology. It consisted not in believing what God has spoken and in inventing a new way of his own. In this lay his sin. This is why God had not respect to his offering. However, Cain much have gone into work in producing it. You see, and some people say, oh, that wasn't fair of God. It was fair of God. Sweat of the brow is never going to substitute for the blood of the lamb. It happens all the time today. You have people like in Mother Teresa may have been, I don't know if her truly was a born again or not, but she was very well known for doing all these acts of service. I tell you, they meant nothing. And when it comes to heaven-wise, she must have trusted Christ alone for her salvation, for us to see her in heaven. I don't really know much that much about her. She's one of the, I guess she's a saint now, I think it is, I'm not sure. I'm a saint. Amen. You're a saint! Amen. I don't always act saintly. There's a cat sitting right there in the window looking at me right now. Must be one from next door. And so I haven't even talked about cats tonight. Maybe he's waiting for me to say something about cats. And somebody wants to turn around and look just to make sure they're not. Pastor Tim's not saying anything. A little disconcerting there. But now this idea of man's religion is really the embryo, if you would, of all subsequent historic religions. Man may hold his parliament of religions, but when all talking is done, there is a revision to type, and we come back to these two primal facts. There are two ways. One is God's way, the other is man's. One is by faith, one is by fancy. One is by grace, other is by merit. One is by faith, the other by works. One is Christianity, the other is religion. One rests on what God has said, the other rests on what man thinks. And one rests on what Christ has done, the other rests on what more they can do. So it is this, it is done or do. Very simple. It is the right way, it is done. Receive Him. Everybody else, no matter what you can come up with, it is do. I must do this. Over here, I am by faith trusting it is done. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the only way to heaven. Man must do something, no. Feel something, no. Experiment something, no. Give something, no. Pay something, no. Produce something, no. He must be called and registered something. He must do something 1,000 times, no. He must receive what has been done. Fourthly, the foreshadowing in the offering, Abel's offering, foreshadowed the greatest offering of all, namely Christ at Calvary. Cain's offering did not foreshadow Christ at all. There was no lamb, no blood, no Christ, no cross. Cain's offering was far inferior to Abel's offering. Faith brought the best offering. Faith brought the premium offering. And by the way, we remind us once again that Cain was not a simple infidel. Well, he was in a way, but he owed to the existence of God. And he was religious. But he came before him as a worshiper, but he came before him with the wrong, his own way. See, there is an erroneous idea in the church over the last couple, 3 or 4 decades that you can worship God however you want, that makes you feel good. That is not biblical. Worship in the Bible is I am on my hands and on my knees and I am bowing like this. That is worship in the Bible. That's what it means. And it's not jumping up and down. Some like emotional feeling. That's not worship. If it's affecting me. And I was reading, one guy really, Bulger really narrowed down worship when we sing our songs. I traveled along, along a lonesome way. My burdens were heavy and dark. Now it is Jesus and me. Is that really a song of worship? Well, it really is not. It's a gospel song, yes. But when you say and sing, my Jesus, I love thee, I know. Now that could be worship. Because see, we're talking to him. I'm not against singing to the great I am. That's maybe in between. I'm not against gospel songs. But to worship God means I am focusing on him, not on some experience I'm having. It's not about me. It's not about you. For eternity, it's going to be about him. And for us to become so inverted and inward thinking that whatever form I want to do and whatever song I want to come out of the blues with, out of the blue sky, yeah, that's not worship. God's very particular. And where I know what the time it is, I'm really got to get going here. The procurement of faith. He obtained witness that he was righteous and God testifying of his gifts. He obtained witness. The same word back over here, attained a good report in 2. He obtained witness in verse 4. The character, he was righteous. He was called righteous. And that's, by the way, righteous means soul salvation. What a wonderful attainment it is. For what shall a man, shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? To be saved, one must be righteous. We must be that. We must have Christ's righteousness applied to us. We are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags, menstrual cloths. That's what that means. It's like, woo, terrible things. And that's our righteousnesses. Abel's sacrifice acknowledges the great truth that obtaining the righteousness for salvation comes through the sacrifice of Christ alone, not your apples and oranges and pears. How about the procurement of the communication? We find in first the author of the communication, he was righteous, God testifying to the gifts. It was God who said, someone who is righteous, God has the authority in his kingdom, does he not? He does. How about the awareness by which he obtained witness that he was righteous? So important to note that Abel was told that he was righteous. We learn that it is of the good pleasure of God that his obedient and believing children should know his mind concerning them, says Arthur Pink. God did not leave Abel in a state of uncertainty, ignorant as to whether or not his offering was approved. The Lord was pleased to assure Abel that the sacrifice had been accepted and that he was accounted just before him. I tell you, I believe in a no-so salvation. Why would it be that God would say the most important thing is you must trust Christ as Savior and be on your way to heaven and then say, well, you can't know that until you die? That's Islam. You can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know that ye have eternal life. He gave us this wonderful salvation and we can know it. So it wasn't just Adam and Eve and Cain that knew. It was Abel also knew. Sacrifice. And how about the action? How did Abel know it was accepted? Can you think back in the Old Testament time? What did God do when a sacrifice was acceptable unto him? Down came the fire. Yes, yes. Leviticus chapter 9. The first offering made by Aaron. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the sacrifice, the dedication of Solomon. Elijah on Mount Carmel. the fire came down. And do you remember when Manoah and his wife and the angel appeared unto them, Manoah says, we shall surely die because we have seen God, the angel of the Lord. And it was so understood about the fire of approval that Manoah's wife said, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would have not received by fire a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. When the fire came, the approval was given. I really believe the fire came and it burnt not Abel, burnt Abel's sacrifice in place of Abel. And the picture is abundantly clear. The fire fell. Abel was considered righteous. Very clearly, if you look through that, most commentators would agree that that was it. Now, that is why the acceptance must be, we find then, the acceptance must be of God. All the sinner could do was, in faith, to bring his offering and lay his hand upon it and confess it as a substitute, as his substitute. It was for God to give his testimony that he accepted it. God's word for 60 centuries or so has been about the sinner believing what God has said. God has spoken. He has told us that he cannot and will not accept the fallen sons of men in their sins. God has told us that he can accept us as such only in the merits and persons of the perfect substitute, his Christ, whom he has provided. Do we believe in this or not? Think about Christ's resurrection as the proof and evidence that God has accepted Christ. Christ risen for the sinner's receipt, which God has given to show that he has accepted Christ's payment for the sinner's debt. There is no other receipt. Christ's blood is not the receipt. That is the payment. The sinner's faith is not in the receipt. It's not to use for a man to, it's not for a man to go to the creditor and say, I believe I paid my bill. Well, Pastor Tim, or Mr. Wright, where's your receipt? Right here. Now, when you say it with a sneer, like, I say, oh, sir, I believe it's right. Oh, you did pay that bill. I believe you are a guilty, stinking, rotten sinner. I am, but I have my receipt. What is it? You raised your son from the dead, and I believe it. And you said you approve of the payment. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That is it. Don't come so high-handed and say, listen, I believe I've done enough to receive Christ as Savior. You haven't. I've given to the church $500,000. It's a big whoop. I have given $50 million into this fund, and I think I'm not even going to be tested at the door. I'm going straight into heaven. No, you're not, sir, unless you, by grace through faith, believe in what the Father says about what the Son has done. Receipt. He is raised, I too will one day be raised. Do you believe it? Presentation of faith, sorry, the persecution of faith, he being dead. What was the stimulation? It was sin. Why do we have so many problems in America? Sin. Unbelief is the root cause of persecution. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. How about the source of persecution? And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. Persecution often comes from those you least expect it from, often comes from those who are closest to you, and persecution often comes from the religious crowd, believe it or not. There's nothing in the world so cruel as religion. It was religion that murdered Abel. It was religion that killed the prophets, crucified Christ, and produced the noble army of martyrs, says Bullinger. It was religion and the strife of religious sects that delivered Jerusalem to the sword and power of Rome. It was religion that afterward wrested Jerusalem from Rome and terrified Europe by the threatening advance of the Muslim sword. It was religion that deluged the Holy Land with the blood of the Crusades. It was the religion of the pagan Rome that sent the Christians to the lions. It was the religion of papal Rome that gave Christians to the stake and invented all the tortures of Inquisition that sent forth armadas with instruments of torture and has ever since been engaged in foul conspiracies, plots, in order to obtain and secure its power. Today it is religion that has that communicable movement that is no friend of true faith, for it is filled with unbelief. It is religion! Religion has caused so much grief to the cause of Christ. It has. Religion's motto is something in my hand I bring. Christianity is nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The severity of the persecution, Cain rose up against Abel and slew him. Persecution is not casual. We have in America, since I've been alive, since 1961, had a breathtakingly wonderful freedom of religion. We should have breathed in a little deeper and enjoyed it just a little bit more.
when we sing songs, our hymn, we should sing with, wow, with some, man, get into that song. I'm not sure how long we're going to do it. I'm not sure. We enjoy it. The proclamation of faith, and the severity of persecution, might come to our own shores here soon, we see. The proclamation, but faith, it being dead yet speaketh, the moment it speaks after we die, the message. By the way, what are they going to be saying at your viewing and wake? What kind of testimony are you going to leave behind? The message of redemption. The most important message of all is redemption. The reproach, dead. Shortly after Abel demonstrated his faith in Christ, he's declared righteous by God. Unbelieving man killed him. Living for Christ will bring more bricks than bouquets and retribution. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. After death, Abel's blood cried, speaking. Do not think the blood of all the children that have been in lives ended so callously, carelessly, murderously is not crying unto. Don't you think our whole planet is a cry of anguish by those who we have snuffed their lives out before they ever able even to leave the womb? To make us weep when we think about it. Unbelievable that we stoop to this. And it has become, in some circles of our own nation, the number one thing that they have bowed down to, and they will not give up abortion rights for any reason whatsoever. We are reaping a whirlwind. Cain has been suffering divine retribution for some 5,000 or 6,000 years. Just a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. Abel, however, believed God. And by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice. Cain, of his own mechanizations, offered of the fruit of the cursed ground. It never will work, never has, never will. You are writing a gospel, a chapter a day, by the deeds that you do, by the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true, say, what is the gospel according to you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the life of Abel, for his clear testimony that even after leaving this world, his blood was crying from the ground. He dead yet speaketh. And Lord, I believe that we will speak even after our passing. May all who come behind us find us this singular thing. The songwriter said, faithful. Faithful to you. Faithful to the word. Faithful to our spouses, our children, grandchildren, to the church. Most of all, faithful to worship you and serve you. So, Lord, tonight, if there's a need, invite people to come. But Lord, as the songwriter says, my faith has found a resting place in you. May our faith reside in you each and every day. I ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Grab a hymn book if you would there, please. It is number 59, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. Hymn number 59. Would you grab a hymn book there, please, with me? Stand with me if you don't mind, and we'll sing together a couple stanzas. 59.